Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? My daddy was a miner and I'm a miner's son, and I'll stick with the Union till every battle's won. Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Oh, workers, can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Come all you good workers, good news to you I'll tell, of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
The word solidarity, I think in our culture today has become so politicized that it's difficult to figure out how to bring it into a faith community in a way that builds beloved community across differences. And that's part of our effort this morning, is to build solidarity in a way that we are also building beloved community across differences. So I was at a march. I watched the coverage last night. I talked to a friend in Dallas, Texas, who said there were 15,000, and that's never happened before. There were 7,000 in Albany. The list goes on and on and on. What does it mean? What does it mean? So who here was able to go to a march? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. I was also. Who here would have liked to have been at a march if they could have been there? Yeah, there's a lot more. And there are those of us here who felt like the march did not represent us. So I am going to encourage us to have a conversation today that lets us really go deep with what is solidarity. If you take it out of a romanticized, overgeneralized, and quite pigeonholed understanding of what solidarity has been, what does it mean? And how does it connect with beloved community, which is our task in a faith community? So, my. Looking at the coverage of the news, for those of you who saw it, you could not assume everybody was there. The millions, the 2 to 3 million people across the country were all there for the same reason. You couldn't assume that. But my sister, my older sister and my niece and I were with my sister-in-law in Woodstock. And my niece, who's 4 years old, made this sign herself. And it said, President Trump, don't do anything bad. Love, Drew. Love, Drew. Don't do anything bad. And from her 4-year-old mind, that means no one person gets all the toys, you have to share them, you know, and you don't get to beat on each other. So my, that said a lot to me about the, you know, what was this about? And my sister's sign said, resistance is not futile. Resistance is not futile. So, for those who would have liked to have been there or who were there and those who saw it, what just a couple of comments about what do you think the marches were saying no to? And then what were you thinking that the marches said yes to? Any thoughts? Go ahead.
Oh, it's a long list.
Well, just give one.
Okay. Anti-racism.
Anti-racism, Michelle?
Disrespect.
Yes, go ahead, Bob. For peace.
I would say yes to love.
Yes to love.
I think a lot of it was the adult version of what just talking about. Not just I want to keep all the toys, but keep me safe.
Keep me safe. All right. So we know it was about different things for different people. And a lot more than that. So what when we think of solidarity, it's so easy to think of it as that, as those massive marches. And it's being galvanized out of, well, let's see, what if solidarity were defined as acting our affirmation? Does that make sense? If our affirmation is covenantal. It's about being in fellowship, dwelling together in peace, seeking truth and love and helping one another. What if solidarity was about putting this into action? That's a possibility. And if that's real as a possibility for us, it means going beyond a march. It means thinking out, not just for the next years or the next administration, but for our lives. What does it mean for how we want to live this in solidarity? How do we act in solidarity? So, wow. This turns from a workshop on marches and solidarity where it shifts into living our covenant in action, our faith in action, and what does it mean to do that with all of our diversity. So some of that means continually including and learning how to genuinely live with more and more people who will differ. And in those differences, when we look in each other's eyes, that we see our own selves, that we know that our well-being is tied to your well-being. Your household's well-being is tied to the well-being of other households. It means finding a soulful grounding to be able to do this in ourselves. Because I know for myself that, I've spent decades doing justice work, and it is way too easy to do justice work or solidarity work or going on marches in a way that throws you way off center or causes me to lose my deep sense of purpose, of what I do want to see, of what beloved community might look like. So it would mean each of us grounding ourselves in what is most true and what it is we're willing to be faithful to, and then to understand, what are we willing to give? what are we willing to give up our isolation? That's a part of what happens in our culture. So, how do we figure out how to live what Martin Luther King says is whatever affects one directly affects all directly? He says, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This, he continues, is the interrelated structure of reality. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. And so I think about solidarity, and I understand for myself that I don't have grounding to work for the solidarity with other people unless I'm living with solidarity with other people. So my question is, with whom do you live in solidarity? With whom do you live in solidarity? For many of us, that will be our families. For many of us, it'll be our environment, our animals. For many of us, it is hard to figure out who else beyond those immediate places we're living in solidarity, truly living in solidarity. Whose well-being depends on me, and who else is my well-being, soul well-being, physical well-being, who else am I dependent upon for that? So I can tell you that this stuff has been a part of my life since childhood, because in my family growing up, I mean, remember, we had six kids, and we went camping together and rode in a car for, 10 hours together, day after day. So we learned something about living with each other. And we learned, in a very real way, my well-being depends on your well-being. If you're grumpy, man, I'm not going to have a good day. And honestly, that became a core for all of us in our family. We understand, or we have a kind of a visceral cellular memory of what it means to take care of each other as a priority. And I know in our culture right now that individualism is so heightened. The right of the individual is so heightened that the commitment to community and well-being of others being connected to my well-being falls into the background for many of us, not all of us, because there are many cultures, many of them Native American, many of them Latina, Latinx. There are many of them who are black and Latino. I said the Latino. But that the communities, not to overgeneralize, but that there's more of a structure of dependence on one another in the context of a larger culture that's hyper-individualistic. So, it makes sense from my family experience that I could say, I am because we are. Just think about that. I said this to the teenagers in my Gay Straight Alliance, who I support, and they were talking about how frightened they are of their physical safety. They were terrified facing the inauguration. They equated, there's a specific rise. There's a measurable rise in hate crime against the LGBTQ communities, and they're terrified. And I reminded them, because they were talking about what they would then do themselves. There was talk of buying a gun or carrying a knife, and I was like, oh, my children, I am because we are. They had no idea what I was talking about. They had no idea what I was talking about. I am because we are. It's true also that as I became an adult, a young adult, I understood that I was lesbian, and I understood that I also had an experience, long, lifelong experience of being victimized, abused. And that experience, as I became aware of it and then connected with other people going through similar experiences, that was a solidarity survival. That was a solidarity that helped me live. That was a solidarity that helped me be safe. That's a very different solidarity from claiming a covenant and an affirmation and learning how to live as if we live in solidarity. So the question is, who or in what way are each of us individually living in solidarity? Who or what community of people is your well-being tied to? And if like most Americans, you'll have a sense of holy mackerel. I don't know. Or it used to be, but no longer is. Or I can't for the moment. Then you become one of the millions of people in our community, in our culture, who are lonely and who are feeling terribly disconnected. So I was, you know, at Standing Rock, where I had the most recent experience of heightened understanding of my well-being, totally dependent on your well-being. Because everything was, it was a gift culture. Everyone was expected to contribute. And whatever you needed, you could receive from others with an open heart. And that was not money. That made some people more able to get what they needed and others not able to get it. Solidarity for a very high purpose. Everybody was there in order to tie our well-being to the well-being of a community of people who had been deeply and continue to be deeply threatened. So, all of this makes me wonder, all right, so I build circles of solidarity in my life. I learn to live solidarity. Then, how do I every day make that solidarity include one more? How do I not make my solidarity exclusive of other people's need for solidarity? How do we have our identity group and not, as we have done deeply in liberal circles, how do I not continue to downgrade, disrespect, discount whole swaths of people for whom living a middle-class life is not necessarily a priority, for whom there are many other assumptions that I know have been alive in white middle-class goals of individualism, really. So, wow, how do we do that solidarity, live that solidarity with each other, and then include, build it one more. In what way does my personal life rely on the personal lives of others? How does my well-being connect to your well-being? So to have the back of another person, I also had to do some very deep personal work, because I learned early on, actually from a combination of family history where sacrifice became a burden for women in the family and the children, more than it became for the men of my family. I'll tell you the story brief so it doesn't sound so weird. My father's father, believe it or not, was one of the partners in a company that made church pews. How's that for a vibrant company? Anyway, so there was someone, one of his partners, who was skimming profit from the corporation. And it ended up becoming obvious because some of the clients were not getting what they needed. They ran out of money, et cetera. And my grandfather's response, without talking to my grandmother and without thinking about the impact on the children, sold their house to pay debts of the company. And my grandmother remained a bitter woman. That's who I knew her to be, was a bitter woman, and I never understood until she died that that's part of what happened there. So what is it to do solidarity work without losing my center, without giving away my core? What does it mean to do my solidarity work or to live in solidarity without, as a white person, approaching people who are people of color without guilt? Because who needs that? You know, it's just like, how do we center ourselves in beloved community, right? So I was realizing that I have a hunger for building. I've had this hunger my whole life to replicate essentially what my family did and to keep building circles of beloved community where we rely on one another's lives. We had that in our neighborhood too. I could go out and borrow a cup of sugar, or I could ask to borrow a tool, or if somebody was in crisis, you would pick up the phone and get a neighbor. I mean, it was really, we knew each other first name basis, et cetera, et cetera. If I didn't see somebody in the neighborhood, or if my parents noticed that somebody was missing, they would go and knock on the door and say, "Are you okay? Where you been?" That quality of connectedness is missing from many of our lives, okay? And sometimes missing from here, and in part because our lives are designed around individualism for the most part, where it's up to us individually to be successful, to take care of our families, without understanding that what happens to our family is connected to what's happening to another family, or in one household is connected to what's happening in another household. That's where I understand solidarity, which has been an over-politicized term from my perspective. That's how I understand it, to be a question of spirit, faith, soul, whatever is most essential and core to who you are. So for me to be loyal to both my core and to your life, I need to get centered. And I was very privileged to sign up for, there's a community of primarily Black organizers and they're people of faith who are organized by the website, social media, and it's called We Say Enough, and we are all welcome to become part of that. It's a teaching tool, and it's a solidarity tool. It's a faith tool. So I signed up for something that's called Fast for Power, specifically designed for me as an individual to do something like fasting so that I could become more reliable for myself and for those I wanted to be in solidarity with. So as part of that, I heard some stories that are important, I think, to share and relevant to us. One is from a Bengali Muslim, Chomtoli Huk, I believe. She talked about the tradition in her community, in her Asama community, as a fasting, as not self-care, but we care. So that you don't fast by yourself, you fast in community. You fast with an understanding that you're doing that to reorient yourself to your higher purpose or to your core of who you are. And so that idea of fasting for we care was oddly revolutionary to me because I've been focusing on this kind of stuff for decades and decades. But I too have been trained as an individual to fend for myself, to be independent. It was really quite a radical opening of some part of me, my head, my heart, whatever. But I did that work, and it wasn't food that I fasted from. It was my bad habit of avoiding things that I don't want to do. So my filing hadn't been done. I was watching too much TV. I was not reading the things that inspire me. So I decided instead of fasting from food, I would fast from avoiding things. So I did this in a way with this group so that we were every day in the afternoon and at night, we would be reminded by spiritual leaders about why we were doing it, and we would be coached. And so I'm going to tell you just about a few of the people. If individualism is a thing that's going to keep us from being, from living our affirmation and moving into solidarity, isolating instead of lending our aid and becoming part of, then counteracting individualism means we're going to be thinking about how does my well-being rely on your well-being, vice versa. And there was one leader, his name is Demario Cooper. He's the leader in Ohio. It's the Ohio Organizing Collective. And he told the story of how one of the most vibrant of the organizers, a young black man who was, this organization, by the way, is focused on working with families whose sons were killed in police violence and working with traumatized kids and working with families where there's mass incarceration in these neighborhoods. So he was saying how this one young man with so much heart was connecting with all these other families, and not as a way to be anti-police, not as a way to be dividing the community, but as a way to help build a sense of well-being in the as a whole. He talked about this one young man who, after so many ways of helping other people, walked up the steps of the city and killed himself because he couldn't figure out how to succeed. He believed that the trauma in the community, it was up to him as an individual to fix it. And there was no end in sight. So he took his life. And this organizer was saying the pain of individualism that causes those of us who are motivated out of the goodness of our hearts to do things outside of being collective, outside of being in solidarity, risk ourselves. So the quote that I chose for the order of service is from the Book of Paul that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." That was quoted in response to this suicidal death of a young black man by saying, resist the culture of individualism enough so that you're able to rely on a community who loves you, who can help you step back, who can help you get a sense of relying on one another. So here at Fourth Unitarian, out of the urban turmoil, What's the practice of Ubuntu look like? I am because we are. That's the African, the Ghanaian word, Ubuntu. I am because we are. My family is because we are. My household is because we are. Who's the we? And how do you make it bigger? So, unfortunately, there's so much more that I could say, but I understand that it's really important for us to be able to talk to each other this morning. I want to end by saying that my experience at Standing Rock, my experience in solidarity with my family and with communities, queer communities, and with so many other communities that I've relied on to save my life, I have learned that being in solidarity doesn't mean, well, I'll tell you what it does mean. It means creating new culture. It means new art. It means new music. It means new joy. It means happiness, as well as giving away, doing hard work. But for me now, solidarity is really about richness. And so I'll end on that note, reminding you that Standing Rock, as awful as it looked from the media, was the safest, most beautiful, creative, gorgeous experience that I've had among humans. It was astounding. So I would like us to take a breath, a few, and then we'll